Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour, Jones and Keefe is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh.
Is Jones and Keefe.
AL rallied in the game. NL has rallied in the swing. Oh!
And the National League wins it in the first swing-off. Kyle Schwarber wins it, going 3-for-3. And the National League, after watching a 6-0 lead disappear in the game, still win this All-Star game with a swing-off.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
All right, here we go. It is Jones and Keefe, WEEI. No Jones. Jones is out today, tomorrow, and the next day. He's been building this up for a while. It is 10-year anniversary. So you know what that means, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Anything can happen.
10 seconds of fun.
That's right. He'll have to recap it for us on Monday. But Lanny's here. Nick's still here. Terp's going to join us for a full hour of Pure Hoops coming up at high noon. It's a good time to dust off your summer sports hot takes at 617-779-7937. You can get in here throughout the program on that. You can text that same number. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Jones and Keefe, Instagram as well. But full program here for you today. And the All-Star game was last night, Bill. You just heard the highlights there. Little home run derby.
Yeah.
To call the winner. A little derby off.
Did we know that was a thing?
I think they came out with that, but I was not prepared for that.
I didn't either. I had no idea what was going on.
Players didn't know it was a thing.
It was a thing. I woke up this morning to the notification on my phone that said Kyle Schwarber named MVP after hitting 3 home runs. I'm like,
three home runs?
Jesus. I'm like, you got 3 at-bats in the All-Star game?
He's a maniac.
Right.
Three home runs in the game?
And then when I watched the full highlight package, I'm like, oh, okay. I had no idea that was a thing. I did.
It was really, I think good. I still remember, was it 2002 with the tie?
Yep. Milwaukee.
I remember watching that, and there's the scene of like Bud Selig. They're like, the umps are talking to him. They're like, hey, they're kind of running out of players here, Bud. What should we do? And he's like, I don't know.
Stop it.
He's like, I guess we're done.
Tell everybody to go home. Yeah, oh,
like,
okay.
Tie? You guys tied the game? Yeah, very strange that they never had like a plan in place before.
Right.
Because all these pitchers, even though they're like, it's clearly the best of the All-Star games. That's not really up for debate. But still, the pitchers go one inning, and then they're done. Some pitchers, like Garrett Crochet, decide to skip it and all that. But you need to have some sort of contingency if there is a tie. And so this is the first time we got to see a home run swing off. And so for those that, the game did take a while too. Mm. So what time did the swing off happen? Like 11:15?
Right.
11:30? Like it was late, wasn't it?
Right. I'm assuming a lot of people woke up. Yeah. I'm assuming a lot of people woke up wondering like, wait, what the hell was that?
They're like, and the National League wins 6-6. Like, huh? So each team picks 3 guys. And then they each get 3 swings, and they go every other. So they go American League, National League, American League, National League, and then whoever has the most wins. And the National League had more. So Pete Alonso was their 3rd guy, didn't even have to hit.
Right.
But apparently they picked the guys the day before who were going to be in it, and yet they weren't even all around?
Right.
Is that true?
Yeah, it seemed that way, that they knew the day before who was going to be because players have travel arrangements.
I'm not going to be here.
Right.
That was Aaron Judge. Like, hey, Aaron Judge, we kind of need you. He's like, I'm on a plane.
I'll tell you, Judge, we're already in the air when the swing off was happening.
See, that would have been the best part, too. It's like, you guys might have to stick around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would have been awesome.
We need you.
Right.
But no, those guys are like taillights. They play like whatever it was, an inning. What did Judge end up having? He had 2 at-bats. Then he leaves. But they put his name down for the swing off. So, but yeah, Kyle Schwarber ends up being the guy, Sox 3 dingers. So the first reaction would be, like, you can't really do that in a regular season game. Or could you?
Right.
Is this a better way to decide a extra inning game?
I think I like it better than the guy on second base.
Yeah. Like, ghost runner on second, which I guess is like, it helps prevent the, like, the 12-15 inning game.
Right.
That you every once in a while you would get. And so I like guy at second base better than nothing.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe regular season, maybe you don't do this in the playoffs, right? Like, because even playoffs, they don't do guy on second base.
Right, because the same with
game
hockey.
7 of the World Series.
Game 7 guys of the World Series. Like, who wants to see me suck the dinger?
Let's go.
Like, I do. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they could.
I think it's just so much more entertaining, and the sport needs it more than anything.
Yeah.
But it's much more entertaining than starting the inning with a guy on second base.
I think so. I don't see why not.
Plus, I like the idea of the, like, guys sitting on the bench. Like, the managers come out. I like the idea of, like, the managers coming out to the umpire and then literally picking, like, it's schoolyard.
They're like, who are our guys?
And nobody has any idea. You know what I mean? You have no idea if you're going to get picked. You're like, we're going to go with this guy. But it'll turn into something where the nerds will butcher it, where it's like, statistics say, if you bet this guy at this time, this is going to happen.
Well, yeah, this would break.
Wait till the nerds get their hands on this. This
would, I think it would break their brains at first, because they'd be like, this is not in our algorithm. Like, this is not part of the game. And then it's like, well, no, it's got to be part of the game now. And then they have to figure it out. And you could have Walker Buehler pitch. You could have him be the guy that pitches to the Red Sox. But no, but that would be like, that's just another layer of strategy. You got to figure out who your three guys. Like, who would the Red Sox three guys be in a home run swing off? Probably
Willier,
Abreu, Bregman,
Story.
Maybe Story.
I mean, I would go Anthony, Marcelo, Maya. I would go with all the young guys. You know what I mean? That's who I'd put up there. Because that's who people want to see.
If
the Red Sox
too.
Get to that, those are the guys you're going to want to see.
Or you go Romy Gonzalez versus a lefty. You bring in a lefty.
Oh, Romy and Ref.
You have to move the L screen. You move the screen around so it's a lefty throwing.
And it should be the other team's guy who usually throws batting practice throwing to, say it's Red Sox, Yankees.
So the Red Sox throw to the Yankees?
Who throws Yankees?
No, I want Cal Raleigh's dad coming out there.
Oh, yeah, we get that. Or you hire someone's father.
Yeah, they always have to have a dad in the stands to come out.
Yeah, it's like an e-bug in hockey. You have to have some emergency BP thrower.
Yeah, why not? But I mean, all around, did you watch much of the game? Any of the game?
Flipped around it. I caught most of it. Was watching the 20-minute highlight package that YouTube put together.
Oh my god!
Which isn't bad. Usually it's like 10-12 minutes. You can get literally everything you need.
I
clicked on this. It was like 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, here we go. Yeah. I'm like, all right.
I don't know if it falls under. It's definitely not must watch. But like the other All-Star games are all just like comically like you're just gonna skip over all of them. They've even kind of stopped doing them.
Yeah, check in on them. You're not invested in them.
But this was kind of fun. So it was funny. The first inning, they had Tarek Skubal mic'd up like while he was pitching, but I don't think they really got their bang for their buck because he gave up a couple of hits and then he was just like pissed.
Right.
And like wasn't really talking.
It wasn't like Liam Hendricks in the 22 All-Star game when he was swearing the whole time.
No, it wasn't that. He just was kind of quiet. And you're like, this is a cool idea. They had like Cal Raleigh and Tarek Skubal mic'd up. And he's like pitching to Shohei Ohtani. You're like, all right, that's a good idea for the broadcast. And then they're like, hey, Cal Raleigh, like, what do you think of the replay system? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, right. I'm busy.
Good stuff. So, that was the other thing. I think we were all sold a bill of goods. 2 weeks ago, Jeff Passan was like, robot umps in the All-Star game. You get there, there's not robot umps. There's human umps.
Of course.
I thought it was going to be robots.
No, it's no different than tennis. That's the thing that bothered me, too,
is that was bogus.
The graphic was like tennis. I'm like, there's one of the nerds who can alter that program.
It is amazing that the tennis
relies so much on it. It's like, oh, it was in. The computer says it was in.
But it's like original Nintendo graphics.
Right.
It's like, it's
nothing impressive. Nothing. It's not like 3D.
Oh, it's like a line and a ball.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it was in. Look at that.
Right, in the little streak that the ball leaves behind.
Now, you're like, wow. I didn't think it was going to be like literally robots, but I thought there might be like nobody there. And then just like the screen would like pop up, like strike ball, strike ball. So, like, before the game, they do, like, the intros, and then they're like, here are, like, the 10 umpires today. I'm like, these guys are all humans.
None of them robots?
None of them were robots. But what they did was...
he was expecting, like, the Fox Sports robot.
How sick would that be? Cletus?
Yeah. Cletus? That's his name? I didn't even know he had a name.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Guy's been around for 100 years, didn't know he had a name.
Oh, yeah. His name's Cletus. So they all come out, and you're like, oh, this kind of stinks. But then they end up, like, showing those guys up. So, like, I forget if it was the first or second inning, there was a strike. Oh, it was actually Tarek Skubal, I think, was still on the mound. And he throws a strike. Umpire calls it a ball. Cal Raleigh challenges it. They look at it for 2 seconds. They're like, no, it was a strike. So like that umpire is like, great. Like now, what's the point of me?
Strike three.
No, I'm telling you, go Frank Drebin. Go all Frank Drebin. But that's another thing that I think they could incorporate into the majors. I think they need to phase out regular umpires because these guys all... they all think it's about them.
Nah,
you like umps.
I do like umps. I do like umps. And you know what it is, too? I think... I like Enrico Palazzo.
Three!
Hey.
They're like, hey, Frank, you need to slow the game down.
And this may be...
the guy swings. Ball three.
Yeah, right. Calls it before it's even in the catcher's mitt. But for me, and maybe it's because I'm not a gambler, so it's like I don't really have any deep stakes into this, I like the idea of human error.
Yeah.
You mess
well,
up
there
things.
Definitely is.
Right, like, hey, you dropped a ball. You're not perfect. We're going to replace you with a robot because you didn't field that ground ball.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's going to happen eventually when baseball's going to be all robots.
But that's
further down the road. That's
Craig Breslow's like, when? When
do we get this? Exactly.
Robot players?
When do we get to program these guys?
Yeah.
But for me, that's what it's always been. I always like the idea of human error, whether you're a player or an umpire. You're going to screw something up. But I get it in the sense because sports gambling has taken over so much. People want as close to perfect as they can get.
Yeah, that's why I feel like they're trying to middle it. It almost needs to be all or nothing. It either needs to be like, we don't have any replay.
Right.
We're just going to go and go about it. I think Andy Hart's more of a proponent of that. Like, just don't replay any of it. And that's part of the game. And you just kind of go with it. Or you say, we have all the technology. You got to use it so you get everything right.
Right.
Like, that was Belichick was a proponent of that while when he was here. It was like, replay everything. Not that you have to stop everything. That's the problem. They need to speed it up. That's the biggest complaint.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, all right, let's go take a look at it. And when you at home are like, that was a strike. And they're like still looking at it. Like that's a problem.
Yep. The pace of it is too, because everything about that, especially with baseball, was about speeding it up.
Yeah.
You put a clock in there. You want things sped up. But then now it's like, okay, now we have to wait for the robot's decision.
Right. Right.
Right. The robot needs to be charged up. Can we, you know.
Yeah. Unplug and plug
can
it back
yeah,
in.
Right, right. Can we USB this bad boy and get this going?
But yeah, that was the All-Star game last night. So it was kind of, interesting anyway to have the home run swing off. And I guess it is one of those things that we talked about. Honestly, it was probably like a grab bag item like a while ago. That like, this is what they're going to do. And then we just sort of dismissed it because it never came back up again.
It was like that in the gold dip bat or whatever.
Oh, dude, golden bat.
Golden hitter or whatever it was called.
Yeah, I think it was the golden at bat, where a guy could hit.
Dust that off and throw that in the All-Star game.
Hell yeah. Although Aaron Judge is already on a plane home. So it's
and
like,
actually, nobody was
Aaron,
left.
Aaron, get in there. Golden at bats is an amazing idea, and it would blow people's minds. The old baseball fan would hate it. But basically, the golden at bat rule was at least kicked around. I don't think it got very far, but it was a player can hit anytime you want. There's one at one point in the game, you can have anybody hit at that time. And so my thought was, so say you had like runner on second and third and Aaron Judge is at the plate and you intentionally walk him and you could be like, hey, Judge, go back up, Aaron.
Right,
again.
Right.
You're like, wait a minute, what? You intentionally walk him twice. But yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But All-Star Game is a good place to like tinker with those things.
Absolutely. That's what it's for.
So you can mess around with that. Mic'd up players. Where do you stand on mic'd up players while they're playing?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it because, like, I think about it. If that was me, I'd be like, can you stop buzzing in my ear, please?
It is weird. I think they're trying desperately to add, like, another layer of entertainment to, like, even with the pitch clock, a slower game. There were a couple of moments. They did this years ago when Mookie Betts was on the Red Sox, and he was in the outfield.
Yep.
And, like, he was having a great back and forth. He even, like, I think he made, like, a diving catch, and he was, like, telling you about it while he did it. And, like, that was, like, the peak. You're like, oh, this is great. And then there are other guys like Bryce Harper, who has like a personality, like he's good. There was the one in the Red Sox Yankees game. Remember, didn't Jazz Chisholm have like an error when he was like,
yeah, he tried to do like a spin throw.
Yeah,
another like, one
threw it away while he's talking to Carl Ravitch. And you're like, so if you're watching that, and then even like the gambling aspect, or even just like a fan of it, and you're like, hey, can you maybe not talk to the players on the team that like I'm rooting for?
That's
like distract them.
I wonder if you have it the way it is when it comes to like sending signals into football.
Yeah.
At a certain point,
shut it off.
Kill the mics.
Yeah, kill the mics.
You know
there
I mean?
Is downtime. And it's a lot easier for an outfielder than a pitcher catcher.
Right.
Like the pitcher's on the mound and like school's like, I think I might go change up here. And you're like, what? Like did Ohtani hear you? Like,
right.
Well, you're right there. But I don't know. They're trying some different things. They were tinkering with it a little bit. Only one Red Sox in the game. We already knew Bregman was going to sit this one out. Garrett Crochet was going to sit this one out. Aroldis Chapman came in and tossed a scoreless ninth.
Did Aroldis Chapman things.
Guy's an absolute
almost
beast.
Almost didn't pitch because the AL was losing in the eighth inning. Or the top of the ninth they were losing, weren't they?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, they scored two runs in the top of the ninth. You're right, to tie the game. My guy Bobby Witt had another double.
Yeah, your guy.
Doesn't help me in the home run pool, but another double. So they tie the game up. They were actually down 6-0, and they were putting up the graphic on the American League is dominated. I think they've won 10 of 11 All-Star games until last night, so I guess 10 of 12. So Chapman ended up being the 11th pitcher that they used. Another one of the pitchers that they used was Joe Ryan, Lanny's guy.
That's right.
Two strikeouts in a scoreless fourth inning. Guys, nails.
Get him here.
Give it all up. Give it all. Give Minnesota whatever they want.
All right, so Jones and I have gone back and forth on this one. Are you a Jaren Duran for Joe Ryan?
I think I am.
Okay.
I think I am.
Yeah.
I think because who's the other option? You have a pitcher down there.
Oh, the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Well, who's the guy that...
Peyton
Tolley?
There you go, Peyton Tolley.
Peyton Tolley.
So I'd rather give up Duran than like another left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, true. Although it's funny, the Red Sox draft, Breslow had like 30 different pitchers.
Yeah, I think the farm system's pretty...
It is. I'm looking at Sox prospects right now, and they still have Anthony and Meyer, number one and number two. So you can sort of like... You could probably put those guys to the side. Peyton Tolley is the number one prospect if you take those
right
guys
after
out
those
of it.
Guys, yeah.
Yeah, and so he's a left-handed pitcher. Then you have Franklin Arias and Luis Perales. I don't even know how to say it, but also a pitcher. So two out of three of your top guys, minus Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer, are pitchers. So maybe there's some pitching on the way. But if you're trading that pitcher for Joe Ryan, like, I'm good.
Kind of cancels
it out, yeah, because I think that's a guy that you'd want to sign long-term.
Do you think they'd want Tolley and Duran? They probably would, right?
Probably.
At least that.
Yeah, probably.
Because you got 2 years of Ryan at cheap money.
Right. And he's nasty.
Yeah. And for the most part, when it comes to prospects, I'm like, all right, until you're in the majors, like, you're just another player. But the way the Red Sox have hyped up these guys, you kind of start to fall in love with them before you've really seen much of them.
Yeah.
Really, how many of those big prospect trades have really backfired on the team that got rid of the prospects?
So
outside of like James Shields and Fernando Tatis.
So there's a few, but I feel like you got to go back a ways. Like Billy knows. Jeff Bagwell played for the Red Sox organization. They traded Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson. So that was in like the early 90s. Well, obviously the Red Sox traded Heathcliff Slocum for Jason Veritek and Derek Lowe, but that was also in the 90s. One of my favorite ones ever was between the Indians and the Expos. It was Bartolo Colon, and I think it was like a rental, and they got Grady Sizemore, Brandon Phillips, and Cliff Lee.
Right.
Like
all awesome.
The same deal. That's insane. But specifically the Red Sox, and they've had a lot of different general managers over the years. They haven't even really given up that many good players. Like Hanley Ramirez was a great player, but they got Beckett and Lowell back. Yep. So like they still won the trade.
You eventually got Hanley back.
And you actually got Hanley back. But like Yoan Moncada and Michael Kopech for Chris Sale.
They're like their third teams after the White Sox.
Exactly. They traded, Manuel Margot for Craig Kimbrell? Like that didn't bite you at all.
And they gave up like their 18th prospect for Kyle Schwarber at the deadline a couple years ago. You never heard of that guy again. And Schwarber was part of the reason you made it to the ALCS.
The guys for Pedro?
And looking it up now, the Red Sox, they had Schilling, they had Brady Anderson.
Yep.
Traded both of them for Mike Botica.
They got Mike Botica, though.
They did get Mike Botica.
Yeah, so it's weird. And you know what? Maybe that might be a bigger story, actually, is like maybe in the 80s and 90s, the scouting reports on like minor leaguers weren't as good or something, because it seems like that happened more then than it does now. And again, even if those kids, like even if Tolley turns out to be a good player, but you get 3 or 4 years out of Joe Ryan, okay, that's fair. You don't have to Danny Ainge dominate every trade.
No.
Like it could be a little bit closer than that. All right, you guys can weigh in at 617-779-7937. Some of the things we saw from the All-Star game. Do you like the home run derby swing off? You like the player interviews and all that stuff? We'll also get to our Red Sox wish list as they get back from the All-Star break on Friday against the Cubs. Trade deadline coming up, 2 weeks from tomorrow, I believe, is the trade deadline. We'll have our big trade deadline spectacular coming up on that day. But
I need to make a sounder for that.
I think we already have one.
Okay, good.
I think we got one in the system.
Freshen it up.
I think so. As long as Joe Castiglione and John Cena are involved, I think we're good. But we'll get into the Red Sox wish list. Joe Ryan's got to be at the top of many people's wish list. Who else are you looking at for the Red Sox to acquire and hopefully have an aggressive trade deadline coming up? No Jones today, but Billy Lanny's here. Nick is here. Terp is going to join us coming up at high noon. But right now, here is Lanny with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The National League defeated the American League 7-6 after the first ever extra innings home run swing-off. Philadelphia Phillies outfielder Kyle Schwarber was named All-Star MVP after hitting 3 home runs in the swing-off. This is the NL's second All-Star win in the last 3 years. Red Sox closer Aroldis Chapman pitched in the bottom of the ninth. Chapman gave up no hits and struck out 1. The Red Sox will return to action on Friday night when the Sox will be in Chicago taking on the Cubs in a 3-game series. Last night at a sold-out TD Garden, the Indiana Fever defeated the Connecticut Sun 85-77. Caitlin Clark scored 14 points for the Fever before exiting the game late in the fourth quarter with a groin injury. Clark missed 5 games earlier this season with a left groin injury. And tonight, the New England Revolution will be in New York taking on the Red Bulls. Kickoff is at 7:30. Visit the 99 Monday through Wednesday for their newest big deal meal, the crispy fried twin catch with North Atlantic cod and crispy shrimp for just $14.99. You got to love the nines. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Now more of Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Roman Anthony seems to finally be figuring it out. And they've gotten healthier at this point. Alex Bregman coming back is going to make it even better.
Huge.
And now we're going toward the July 31st trade deadline, and all eyes are going to be on the Red Sox. Aroldis Chapman's going nowhere. Alex Bregman's going nowhere. They're going to add, and if they get another starting pitcher who can be at the top of that rotation with Garrett Crochet, Brian Baio pitching
Mitch Keller,
so well,
told you.
Lucas Giolito, the Boston Red Sox are legitimate World Series contenders.
Suck it!
All right, back here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. No Jones today. Billy Lanny is here. Nick is here. Terp's going to join us at high noon. You can join us throughout the program, 617-779-7937. That was passing on with McAfee. And not to get too sidetracked, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter or X.com. Some guy tweeted this out, and then it was retweeted by Trey Wingo. But the guy, Nick, on Twitter said, kids today don't realize it, but you used to be able to turn on ESPN and not see Stephen A. Smith or Pat McAfee. Those were glorious times. Trey Wingo, who used to work at ESPN, and honestly, I thought he still did, but I guess he doesn't.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
that's news to me.
I didn't know that. So Wingo responds. He goes, let me preface this by saying I have so many wonderful memories and so many great friends still working there, but I wanted to succeed. But he's right. It used to be a glorious buffet where you could pick and choose what you wanted. Now it's like a banquet dinner, chicken or fish.
It's true.
That 6 o'clock Sports Center just hit different.
It did.
Like the morning one. Like we would watch the same Sports Center multiple times in the morning.
Yeah.
You know what it is? And then
remember when Craig Kilborn said this? Remember when Dan Patrick said that?
And then we had, then it became Around the Horn and PTI where you're talking head shows, and then it would go right into 6 o'clock for more Sports Center.
More Sports Center.
But now it's just like a little bit of SportsCenter, and then everything else is a talking head because they got 9 million people on their payroll that need to speak.
So do you even do the top 10 still?
I don't even know.
Top 10 plays of the night was up there. With
right, but that's the thing, too. It's like they don't do baseball tonight. You know what I mean?
Baseball tonight was the show.
Baseball tonight because you
had Going Gone.
Right, you had Going Gone. You had Web Gems. You know what I mean? There was like, they don't have that. And I wonder if that's what's impacting people's viewership of the sport.
That was a big inspiration for the Dong Report, was the Going Gone. Me and Jones were talking about like how great it was to like watch baseball tonight and be like, who socked dingers tonight?
Right. And it would just be
like all these guys socked dingers.
Because it was like late 90s, early 2000s.
Jeremy Burnett's homered again?
Right. Because it would be like Sosa. 62, 63. It's like the numbers are insane.
Best. Yeah. No, now it is. It's a little bit different. And this has sort of been a theme this week. You know, the Home Run Derby used to be better. The All-Star Game used to be better. Sports Center used to be better.
Week.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, Josh Hamilton round popped up on Twitter again this morning, and I watched all 28 home runs. They cut a lot of it out, but it was this majestic home run after majestic home run.
Right. Josh Hamilton, just great, socking dingers.
Especially at Yankee Stadium.
Like
that was
the time, but.
Yeah, was that the last year of Yankee Stadium or the first year of the new one?
Oh, good question. Probably the
new
one,
what it,
right?
I can't remember
why they did it there.
Was.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But Justin Morneau won that one, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, they got to change the rules on that.
But that's the thing. Like when we talked about it before, there's a handful of ones where you remember performances that weren't the winners.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that happens all the time. Cal Raleigh, though, the winner this go around, his MVP odds are shockingly really low. But I guess they had a graphic yesterday when Aaron Judge was at the plate. And they had all the stats that he leads in, and then next to it, all whoever's in second, and like what the gap is, and you're like, oh, okay. Like his slugging and stuff is like 120 points higher than everybody else's. You're like, oh,
it's not even human.
Okay. A few other people are pointing out some of the prospects that got traded in deals. Pete Crow Armstrong was one that got traded for a rental and Javi Baez. So that's a mistake because you didn't even keep Javi Baez. Javi Baez is like decent. He's on the All-Star team, for God's sakes. But Pete Crow Armstrong is a big one. But no, overall, I'm with Lanny. I would trade prospects because I don't even count Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer as prospects. Like they're on the club. Christian Campbell is definitely a much more debatable one. I wouldn't trade him, though, I don't think. He's not untradeable.
Right.
But
I think he showed you enough that he can play at this level.
Yeah, he was.
You know, hit a rut.
Rookie of the month.
Like, right. He showed you that, like, the major league level isn't anything he can't handle.
And he was he like flew up all the prospect rankings where you feel like if any player was going to come back to bite you, he kind of is the formula for that.
I think he's already played more games in the majors than he did in the minor league system.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He like barely played. They were moving him around position-wise. So I think I probably wouldn't trade him.
Plus, he got called up, and any fan would say like they did it backwards and how they called him up.
Yeah, oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Everybody assumed Campbell would have been the third one of those three that got called up, and he opened the season on the roster.
Right, and it was because of the position he played. He signed the contract and all that
versatility.
Stuff. But, yeah. I think the obvious thing, though, for this team, and they're World Series contenders, like they 100% are. Doesn't mean they're the favorite. It just means that they are a World Series contender. They've won 10 in a row. They're in a wild card spot right now. I think the obvious addition is starting pitching. Would you make a case for another bat or a reliever, or would you go pitching as well?
I would go pitching.
Yeah,
I feel like
starting pitching.
I feel like whatever year it is, no matter what your team's doing, you always need an extra starter. It's as simple as that. It's just baseball, you know. Yeah.
2004, the only year that like all five guys got the ball every single time.
Right.
It was like insane. It never happens.
And with the Red Sox, the way just the state of the American League, they're not out of it. They're not even. You know what I mean? There's even if they have a little bit of a struggle, there's still other teams that are. Not great.
Oh,
you know, there's no runaway team in the American League.
No. And I think right now, if you look at their rotation, you have a Cy Young contender in Garrett Crochet. Also, I wonder if Tarek Skubal given up a couple runs in the All-Star game. I wonder if that'll throw him off.
Actually, I think Skubal got hit around pretty good before the All-Star game.
Okay.
The start where Crochet went complete game shutty, I think Skubal got hit around.
All right. So you're buying opportunity on Crochet Cy Young?
I mean, it's always a buying opportunity.
I think it
him.
Is.
And the thing is, too, is I hate this because I always want my team, regardless of their position, to do something at the deadline.
Yeah, like the meme with the stick.
Right, just give me something. I don't want Tanner Houck might come back.
No, God,
we might get this.
Yeah,
because I felt like they did that with Clay Buchholz and Chris Sale for so long.
Every year,
we don't have to make a move by getting Chris Sale back. Yeah. That's a move. That's the stuff
they
I don't
even
like.
Give updates on Tanner Houck. They're kind of like real cagey about what they're playing. They're like, we'll see what happens.
And like Dobbins is still 15-day, but that's gonna be longer than that, right?
It's done for the year.
Gotta be.
No, he that ended up being an ACL. So Dobbins is done. You can't rely on him. Before we knew that, Breslow had those comments where. In the middle of the comments, he was like, oh, we need like an impact. We're looking for impact players. He named a bunch of guys in there, and he was like, well, Kyle Harrison's working on things. You're like, I mean, come on. Kyle Harrison working on things? Like, no.
We're teaching him three new pitches.
Yeah. He just needs to change his mechanics, grip, how he throws it, what arm he throws with.
He needs to learn three more pitches.
Yeah. Ever teaching him to hit. But then once we get him cooking.
Was he a pitcher when you guys got him?
Yeah, we sure about this? But no, but you have Crochet, who's obviously nailed. Brian Bayo, I feel like I'm reluctant to fully embrace Brian Bayo as being a dominant starter. But is it time to do that? It's been a full, if you take, as Nick's pointed out a bunch of times, if you take the second half of last year, first half of this year, add it together, that's a full season plus.
Right.
And he's been really good.
Yep.
Is that enough? Or I feel like as soon as I'm like, you can rely on him is when he's going to just get his face ripped
off. I think it's you give him the second half.
Yeah.
You see where the rest of the season goes, and then you determine, like, okay, are you definitely our number two?
So, like, going into next year.
Right.
You'll know
right.
for sure.
So we get this second half of performances, so we get another, 10 starts?
Yeah, he's made 15 starts this year.
Yep, so if we can get 10, 12 more starts out of him, I think that'll give you a fair assessment whether you go into next season saying, this is our number two.
That'll put him close to like 200 innings.
Yeah, is this? So it says he's 16 games, 15 starts. Was that like the rain delay one?
That was the Reds postponed game where he came in the fifth inning. Doesn't count as a start, but it counts as a game.
Right. Yeah, so that's misleading.
He technically came out of the bullpen.
Right, it was like the fourth inning that game ended.
So he's at 91 and two-thirds innings. That would put him on a pace of 150, which would be, I mean, last year he was 162. The year before that he was 157. So it'd be kind of what he was. He didn't start the year on the roster,
no, he
right?
He missed a month, and he was terrible for a month where he couldn't go farther than four. So,
but a 3.14 ERA, like I don't think he qualifies. I don't think he has enough starts, but like that would put him towards the top of the league.
Which is insane.
Which is pretty insane. He's still not a big strikeout guy, but he really never has been for his whole career. So that makes me like a little afraid of him being like a legitimate, like true, like number two guy. Like you'd like to see more strikeouts.
Right. But you want a two guy. You want them to be an absolute hoss and just like mowing people down.
And then Giolito's another one where like, hey, do we have any hoss of the week candidates?
That Superman? Second round pick. Superman? And that second round pick that they drafted was like 6'4", 250.
Can an alien be a hoss?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
asking. Just asking.
I would say so. Right, yeah, for sure.
Can a hoss be an alien?
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, I think so. I listen, he's not getting it. I'm just saying he's a nominee. He's doing well at the box office. I know Francesa hates it. Oh, the other thing. Did you see freaking Kirk Herbstreit from college football?
No, what he throws
Yeah, he retweeted Francesa. He's like, I agree with this. The movie sucked.
Right.
You're like, Kirk, listen. There's plenty of bad takes out there. Like, you don't need to, like, steal from this
piggyback
one.
Piggyback onto this one.
He retweeted Francesa's rant about Superman. And he wrote, agree with every, in all caps, sentence he says, movie was awful.
Jeez.
Man.
He listened to all 20 minutes?
I think he watched the wrong film.
It's such a bold move to just be like, awful.
Awful. A piece of crap.
I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, you watch a movie and you're like, oh, that wasn't that great. But I think you would give it maybe a second chance, especially with a movie like this. Like, you would kind of, all right, let me give that one more viewing.
It was excellent.
Especially if you, like you said, it was only a hair above 2 hours. Like, that's not asking a lot.
It's unreal.
I mean, I'm 90 minutes in and out, like, but like, I can sit through a 2 hour movie.
Yeah, this one flies. Nick saw it.
That's the thing. Yeah, too,
no, pun intended, flies.
But like, as fast as he flies, though.
No, he
needs. I know it's a gripe for you.
It was one of my gripes.
Wait, well,
he didn't look fast enough.
Gotcha.
Superman's super fast.
He did break the sound barrier at one point, though.
So if a race
between, that was fast. That was
so
a fast move.
Superman's supposed to win a race between him and like the Flash.
So famously, they have raced, and in comics, I know Supergirl also raced the Flash. I think it's like, did they tie or something?
Of course they did.
Maybe the Flash.
I've never actually read.
Everybody
gets
a trophy,
but they're like close enough.
Of course.
That's the point.
That's a photo finish. If you can even get a photo of it. I don't even know if there's a camera fast enough to get a photo of that finish.
Well, maybe some of this like Luther technology. I mean, the technology in this movie is also off the charts, which I think probably threw Francesa for a loop.
Right.
Do you think Francesa is at all perturbed that he's been doing his Mike Francesa podcast for a while, and I don't think a single sports take of his has taken off like the Superman take has?
But isn't that kind of like the whole point of like a podcast, though? Like, there's a million sports takes out there, so you use the podcast.
No, there is,
like,
but I think him specifically, I think he's probably surprised.
Right,
that,
such
like,
a grizzled sports veteran.
Like,
that
him hammering
more.
The Yankees bullpen, he thought might have been like taken off.
Nope.
But it ended up being him hating Superman.
Right.
And yelling about Crypto, the caped dog. That was in the movie quite a bit, by the way.
I love, like, you're talking
we
about...
We live in a world now where you are going to be more concerned with the gorilla. What's wrong with you people?
He was mad about the Harambe calls
Harambe
he was getting.
Thing he was mad about.
Right, that's Harambe. The thing. But yeah, no, now it's not non-sports stuff that people are fired up from. Yet he's getting fired up about that people are enjoying.
They're pissed.
Plus, it's something, too, like, you can argue that. It doesn't have to be a sports topic for you to debate it. You know
Definitely
what I mean? The
not.
Fact that, like, Herbstreit's like, I agree with all this.
But
then there's a large group of people that, like, you're both crazy.
Yeah, you're both nuts. The movie was fantastic. You can weigh in on that if you so choose. 617-779-7937. Also, big night at the TD Garden last night. Caitlin Clark was in the house. And now we're talking about maybe a WNBA team in Boston. We'll get into that coming up next. It's Jones and Keefe. Jones off today. Lanny is in here on WEEI.
The Red Sox Station.
WEEI. New England Sports Original. Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
I would love to come back here and explore a bit more. It's beautiful. It seems like an amazing city. I think I checked earlier. We checked earlier to see if the Red Sox were playing. I don't think they're in town. So I've never.
They're
that's right. It's All-Star. Yep, in Atlanta. Okay, sorry about that. I would have loved to go to a Red Sox game and seen Fenway. I guess I could have gone to Fenway and looked at it with no people in it, but I didn't do that. But I mean, I would love to come back here and explore a little bit more in the history of it and, you know, all the amazing things that you can do. I honestly was on TikTok, like, best things to do in Boston, just so I can, like, see, even though I'm not going to do them. And I think that's what's fun about going to these new places and these new cities is, like, you get to experience the culture and the people that are here, too. And that's also what makes it a lot of fun.
That was the voice of Caitlin Clark, the savior of the WNBA. She was at the TD Garden last night. The Connecticut Sun, who normally play in front of, I don't know, I guess 8,000, 9,000, if they sell it out, which I don't even know if they do, but it'd be like 8,000, 9,000 down there. They moved the game to the TD Garden. Sun versus Fever. Indiana Fever get the win. Caitlin Clark aggravates the groin, Bill.
Yep.
Late in the game, she had to leave the game. She missed time earlier this year with a groin injury.
Well, here's the thing: it was hurt the left side, and I just noticed a replay on the news that looked like she was holding the right side.
Oh boy!
So
double groin?
Maybe it's a double groin issue, but yeah, like she missed a handful of games with the left groin. Now it looked like she was holding the right side.
She's must see TV.
Oh, absolutely.
She's must see TV. She was in college. It's carried over to the pros. The fact that they had to move the game, like it's funny because Messi was just here last week. It is similar. You know, usually you go to a Revs game and like they do have passionate diehard fans, but
it's just double, lower bowl.
It's lower bowl. Like you double, triple it. Now, it's kind of unfair to them to play in a football stadium compared to some of the other ones, but the idea is still the same. One player on another team shows up and bang, the place is sold out. Same thing here. They're like, let's move the game to a venue that is significantly bigger and sell that out. So, yeah, she is must-see TV. The league may or may not like her. It seems like there's less of it this year than her rookie year.
Right.
Right, where like every night it felt like
she's taking a beating.
They're just like fouling the hell out of her and abusing her. Wasn't on the Olympic team, which was insanity.
And that she was, I don't know who did the poll, but they were like, oh, she's the ninth best god in the league. Like if it was
based on the player vote, right?
It would be even worse if you said the ninth best player in the league, you'd still be like, that's ridiculous.
No guard.
But the fact that you're like, oh, no, she's the ninth best god, it's like, all right, why? Like, is it a jealousy thing? Like, I don't like.
I think it's a lot of jealousy thing because there's a lot of players that I'm sure are really, really good, and a lot of people just didn't give them the time of day. And they're like, well, it's, you know, I can't watch everything. And then she comes.
Crown's too early thing. Wasn't it Diana Taurasi last year talking to her? She's like, she's in for a rude awakening when she goes to the WNBA. And
she
held her own.
They were doing the Manning cast thing, Taurasi and Sue Bird, and they were talking about her. But then, like, a year later, they had her on, and Taurasi, like, joked about it. She's like, I might have been wrong about that. Like, you're doing pretty great, actually. You're doing just fine. But, yeah, it's also, like, a lot for her. I feel like, meaning, like, every time she goes to a city, it's just like, hey, like, you're here to save women's basketball.
Right.
Like women's basketball never existed until she started playing. And so everything she says gets, like, blown out of proportion. Everything she does gets blown out of proportion. The way she, like, looks at other players gets blown out of proportion. So that's kind of tough. But there is some aspect of the any publicity is good publicity thing.
Yep.
And for years and years and years, people had no idea, really, like, when the WNBA season started, ended, who was playing, whatever. So, like, that part of it's helping.
But there's always been, like, the one player in the league that should be getting eyes on it. Think about, like, Lisa Spocks, Candace Paca, Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird. Mm-hmm. All these are awesome, awesome players,
but they
weren't able to pull in the crowd that Caitlin Clark is able to do.
No. And I think it is it's the way she plays sort of like Steph Curry, and she's shooting shots from the logo and all that stuff, and she's an incredible passer, and she is, like, a truly great player.
Yeah, creating her own offense.
So it is, like, warranted. I know there'd be plenty of people who are like, well, it's because she's white, and that's why
that's
she's
the worst
so much.
Part about this
that's,
whole thing.
It is.
It gets about race. Right. It gets about politics. It's like, she's
a lot of honkies in here.
She's a great basketball player.
She's awesome.
Who's bringing a whole giant number of new eyes to your sport.
Yeah, that's good. Like, I think you should embrace it. Now, I don't think that means that players on the other team should just, like, get out of the way and be like, and like kiss her feet. Like, you don't want to do that. You want to be competitive.
You don't make it easy for her.
No. But also, you do have to realize that she is a huge help to the whole thing.
Right.
They're talking about expansion in the league because of her.
Right.
It is the magic.
They dump it all over the expansion cities.
Although,
Sophie
Cunningham, who also has become popular. She's been in the league, but she's on Caitlin Clark's team for the first time this year. Andy Hart was talking a lot about her, apparently, the other day.
Yeah, Hart likes her a lot.
Yeah, okay. He likes her game?
Loves her game.
Yeah, great. He likes her Instagram, maybe what I'm guessing. But anyway, so, she was kind of, was it Cleveland and Detroit, where she was like, I don't know about Cleveland and Detroit as, like, expansion cities, kind of, like, dumping on it.
You play in Indiana.
They do play in Indiana. It's kind of out of her control, though. I think she was traded there. I believe there are 12 teams, 13 teams? How's there 13 teams? All right, here are the teams in the WNBA. I was going to have you guys guess, but I feel like it's not even worth it. The Atlanta. Here are your 2025 WNBA teams in the Eastern Conference. The Atlanta Dream. I can't do this for the whole thing. Chicago Sky, Connecticut Sun, Indiana Fever, New York Liberty, Washington Mystics. So you have a couple big cities, a couple not big cities in there. Dallas, Golden State, Vegas, L.A., Minnesota, Phoenix, and Seattle. That is an odd number of teams, right? That's 13.
Mm-hmm.
So Boston as a WNBA City. The governor called in Greg's show this morning and wants a WNBA team.
Sick brag, bro.
Well, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying he didn't say it. But
but if you bring a team in, do they play at the Garden?
I
don't even know what your other option would be.
Yeah, I think so.
Like DCU?
Yeah. So I'm looking at this list now, and like the New York Liberty play at the Barclays Center. The Indiana Fever play where the Pacers play. The Sparks play where I think the Clippers play. Minnesota plays where the T-Wolves play. So, like, a lot of them do play in the same building.
I don't know how big the place in Connecticut is, but it's not.
No, it's not big. The Mohegan Sun Arena is capacity just under 9,000. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're comparing the city, sure. But, like, I don't know. Do you think that would really take off here? Like, if Caitlin Clark's playing there, that's, sure.
Right, so you have to bank on, I don't know what their schedule looks like, how many times she would come to Boston during a season.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that you'd be like, all right, well, we know we're going to bang it out that night. And then if you have, like, a subpar team, like, it's going to be tough to fill even the lower bowl.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is, I guess, you would be in the Eastern Conference, so I imagine you'd play Caitlin Clark a bunch of times because they're also in the Eastern Conference. But, like, there's going to be plenty of games where it's not her, and then what's that going to look like?
The Lady Celtics? What would they be?
Lady C's, the Lady Leprechauns.
Nice.
Would you go something like that?
I like it.
I don't know if it's late. Can you say that? Is that offensive?
That's true.
I'm not sure.
Everything's offensive.
I think we're past the timeout, so it went over the air.
Oh, son of a gun.
Oh, it was fun working it.
It was. I had a great time. Let's go to the phones. We got Ralph in Cranston on this. Ralph, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Look, I think there must be a Players Association president or something. That's who I blame. Are these people out of their minds? And like you said, it's part racial. It's part jealousy. This woman has brought this sport to a place where we thought it might have taken 10 or 15 years to go. People are watching it. We're talking about expansion. Why would these people ever do anything but hail this thing, that this girl and everything? And if I'm the refs, I'm protecting her. We've seen it happen in the NBA. Stars like LeBron or Larry Bird, you protect her too. She is like a gift to every other player. And the association president should be all over this and say, come on, get your heads out of your butt. Look where we are right now, where we were 2 years ago. Come on. And the nonsense of knocking this girl, and that was so dumb. She's the ninth best guard. That's going to stop. If they have any brains, that has to stop.
I hear you, Ralph. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I mean, that part of it has to be jealousy. Just be like, she's being anointed as like the greatest player of all time. She may not be the greatest player of all time, but she's definitely the most impactful as far as like watching the game. Like, I don't even think that's really up for debate right now.
No, and I agree with him. You got to do what you can to protect her. The league adjusted for Jordan.
Yep.
The league adjusted for LeBron.
Yep.
Like, it's going to do the same thing for her. It's just, I don't get why the play is, like he said, to just can't accept that. Like, hey, appreciate what she's able to do. She doesn't have to be the best player out there, but what she brings is an audience that wasn't there 2 years ago.
And I don't know how that would work and how it would be accepted. Like, Boston's obviously an incredible pro sports city. Mm-hmm. They're maybe the best pro sports city there is, but adding another team to it,
it's a lot.
You know, because the Revs came in 1996, and they're still like kind of that distant fifth team.
Right.
You know, so like, I know basketball's different than soccer, but I wonder how that would work.
But even if you look at it like this way too, like, we have a rugby team that's won 3 championships in a row.
Right.
Granted, it's like, you know, rugby is a sport that not everybody's glued to, but like, we have that, and there's, you know,
we have rugby, lacrosse, like women's soccer. Like, there's a bunch of other things that really are so far away from like this. And I don't, maybe WNBA team would be sort of in the middle of that.
And there's a stubbornness to it too, where local people are like, no, I like my 4 majors and that's it.
Right.
Because I could say, like, personally, I didn't grow up a college sports fan because my dad wasn't a college sports fan.
Right.
Like, he enjoyed the 4 majors. And that was it. So it wasn't like, so I didn't get to appreciate these other sports, but I didn't dive into them as deep as I did the 4 majors, because that's what my dad was into. That's what we were watching, type thing.
All right, 1 hour down, 3 hours to go. Jones and Keefe, no Jones today. Billy has slid over. Nick is here. Terp's going to join us at high noon for a full Celtics hour. Jaylen Brown had some comments earlier this week, which we will get to. We'll get to your phones as well at 617-779-7937. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI.
Jones and Keith on WEEI.
WEEI.